Trust isn't just earned, it's demanded. Whether you're a startup founder navigating your first audit or a seasoned security professional scaling your GRC program, proving your commitment to security has never been more critical or more complex. That's where Vanta comes in. Businesses use Vanta to establish trust by automating compliance needs across over 35 frameworks like SOC 2 and ISO 27001, centralized security workflows, complete questionnaires up to 5 times faster, and proactively manage vendor risk. Vanta not only saves you time, it can also save you money. A new IDC white paper found that Vanta customers achieve $535,000 per year in benefits, and the platform pays for itself in just 3 months. Join over 9,000 global companies like Atlassian, Quora, and Factory who use Vanta to manage risk and prove security in real time. For a limited time, get $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/TED Audio. That's vanta.com/TED Audio for $1,000 off.
Start the new year with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market. Supercharge your routine with low prices on no antibiotics ever favorites like boneless, skinless chicken breasts and ground beef. Plus a rainbow of organic produce, including green beans, blueberries, cherry tomatoes, and more. No sale needed to save. Just look for the yellow low price signs or the 365 by Whole Foods Market logo. Shop Whole Foods Market in store and online.
TED Talks Daily is sponsored by Capital One. In my house, we subscribe to everything. Music, TV, even dog food. And it rocks. Until you have to manage it all, which is where Capital One comes in. Capital One credit card holders can easily track, block, or cancel recurring charges right from the Capital One mobile app at no additional cost. With one sign-in, you can manage all your subscriptions all in one place. Learn more at CapitalOne.com/subscriptions. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to TED Talks Daily, where we bring you new ideas to spark your curiosity every day. I am not the regular host, Elise Hugh. I am Chris Duffy, host of another show in the TED Audio Collective that's called How to Be a Better Human. Now, you might be wondering what I'm doing here and why I'm hosting today. And that is because today's TED Talk on TED Talks Daily is from Elise Hugh herself. I am a longtime fan of Elise's work, and even better, I get to call myself a friend. But even if I didn't know Elise, I would be so excited for you to hear this talk because it's about the ways that technology changes how we see ourselves. That's a question that Elise has been investigating for years now, both in her reporting and in her book, Flawless: Lessons in Looks and Culture from the K-Beauty Capital. What does it mean when we so often see ourselves through the lens of our phones or computers? What if the way that we look in the real world somehow feels less real or doesn't live up to the image that we have of ourselves in our digital life? Those are big questions, and they're questions that Elise has made me think about in completely new ways. Here's her talk.
Earlier this year, I was in Taipei, Taiwan, where I decided I wanted to make a TikTok about cup noodle. Only this brilliant TikTok never happened because of the shock I got when I opened up the app and flipped it into selfie mode. The face looking back at me was a face, but not exactly my face. A whole array of beauty filters had automatically worked me over, and I could not turn them off. There was so much going on here. Skin smoothing, skin lightening, teeth whitening, nose narrowing, bigger eyes, and it gave me a thinner, softer jawline. This was a whole lot of non-consensual filtering, or what someone joked was forced catfishing. And for me, it's the perfect example of something called the technological gaze at work. What is it? Well, women have had to play to the male gaze forever. You know what that is. But the technological gaze describes an algorithmically driven perspective that we learn to internalize, perform for, and optimize for. And then by taking in all our data, the machines learn to perform us in an endless feedback loop. We learn it so young. An estimated 80% of 13-year-old girls in America have already used filters or some kind of editing to alter their appearance online. And these days, the filters are hyper-realistic because they tend to be AI-generated. They come with a suite of characteristics teaching us how to look, things like arched eyebrows or higher cheekbones or plump lips. What then happens is we see the gap between the way we look in the mirror and the way we look in these filters, and the digital world begins to dictate real-world beauty standards. We've seen it in celebrity culture, and I know this because I saw it when I lived and worked in Seoul, South Korea, as the NPR bureau chief there nearly 10 years ago. Sol is all about optimizing your face and your body. If you want your vagina rejuvenated, your skull reshaped, any part of your body lifted or enhanced, have at it. It's the cosmetic surgery capital of the world. Nearly half of all Korean women have already undergone some kind of plastic surgery by the time they're in their 20s. No other place comes close. These days, Traptox is really popular. That's injecting Botox into the base of your neck, your trapezius muscles, to give the appearance of a longer neck. Calves are being injected with Botox for the same reason. Having a slimmer jawline is so desirable that a Sol plastic surgery clinic once displayed the human bones of jaws it had shaved down in a glass vase in its lobby. This has since been removed. But this kind of body augmentation work isn't just accepted, it is expected. Because in Sol, looks matter so much for your professional and personal advancement. Headshots are required on resumes. Hiring bosses made character judgments based on your face. You were often bullied if you were bald or big. Trying to look better is framed as a route to economic security and a matter of personal responsibility. But Korea just shows us a more concentrated and extreme example of the pretty privilege that exists everywhere. Look at fat phobia in the United States, helping drive off the charts, off-label use of Ozempic, not for diabetes, but for weight loss. It makes sense when we are so rewarded for thinness and stigmatized for fatness. And all I'm saying is we should reckon with this, because the more narrow our idea of beauty is, the wider the pool of ugly becomes. And digital culture is now reshaping our actual faces and bodies. Under the technological gaze, I worry that our bodies become projects to be worked on forever. And if we don't slow down this body augmentation arms race that I saw in Sol, then the enhancements that were available there only get farther and farther out of reach, and not just for women. Because if we are chasing digital beauty, well, then the limit does not exist. AI's idea of attractiveness is only increasingly inhuman and cyborgian. I don't want this. I don't want my daughters coming up in a world in which their looks are the most important things about them. It is incredibly marginalizing to everybody who can't fit in and exhausting for everyone who can, because you are constantly having to make or pay for interventions in order to keep up. So what do? Filters aren't going anywhere. But we can challenge what the system is optimized for by changing what it means to be beautiful. Just as the solution to homophobia isn't to make everyone straight, and the solution to racism isn't to make everyone white, the solution to lookism and fat phobia isn't to make everyone interchangeably skinny and conventionally pretty. In fact, it's the opposite. It's to celebrate diversity and the differences that make us who we are, that are inherent to the human condition. And ultimately, we have to disrupt a system that reduces our worthiness to our looks. Even though my face is rounder and probably darker than an algorithm would like, I have come here tonight wearing my actual face. And my hope for all of you is that you feel comfortable and will continue to feel comfortable doing the same. Because I see a wide variety of jawlines out here tonight. And let me just say, they are all worthy. Thank you.
That was Elise Hugh at TEDNext 2024. And that's it for today. TED Talks Daily is part of the TED Audio Collective. This episode was produced and edited by our team, Martha Estefanos, Oliver Friedman, Brian Green, Autumn Thompson, and Alejandra Salazar. It was mixed by Christopher Fazy-Bogan, additional support from Emma Taubner and Daniela Balarezo. I'm Chris Duffy, and Elise will be back tomorrow with a fresh idea for your feed. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy to see if you could save when you bundle your home and auto policies. Try it at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Microbiologist Ann Madden says when you touch your face, you are touching much more than just your skin.
We are an ecosystem, and so you're actually feeling over 100 billion bacterial cells on your face.
From microbes to language to kindergartners, ideas about the small but mighty. That's next time on the TED Radio Hour from NPR. Subscribe or listen to the TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.